All right. Like I said, I'm really happy to have this guy in studio this morning. This guy, long time. You've been at Four for how long?
27 and a half years.
27 and a half years. That long?
Yeah.
How'd you make it 27 and a half years in this business, by the way, Paul?
It's called survival. Oh, by the way, you left out something in the headlines.
Yes, sir.
Last night, the WDIV Fighting Peacock softball team won 19-5.
Outstanding. But Paul Gross, longtime meteorologist, and I guess now I can say an author. What's it like being an author?
God, that's weird. You're the first person face-to-face.
You're an author, Paul.
Yeah, that's a weird feeling.
How's that feel for you?
Well, I just received my copies of the book in the mail, and you know, that first time you open the box, it's a pretty weird feeling. It's like, wow, look at that.
I actually have it sitting right here. We were just looking at this. Right here. Hold on just a second.
Here it is. See? I wanted to prove to you. There it is right there.
There it is, yeah.
There it is right. Extreme Michigan weather, the wild world of the Great Lakes State. You know what's funny? And as we mentioned, Paul, you've been the... Am I allowed to say, like, I don't want to, like, misuse term, like, the official meteorologist for teams? Is there, like, something like that?
Yeah, there's not, like, a contractual thing. It's just something that, you know, I'm a big sports fan, as you know, and I figure, you know, I can't be, like, the 11th man in the field, things like that, or 12th man in the field or anything like that, but I can help by helping them anticipate the weather. And so just over the years, this is just stuff I started doing. And they're just a million stories. It's been a lot of fun to be able to help the teams. Yeah, we all want to run out in the field and say, oh yeah, I want to, you know, help. Well, this is a way I can help.
That's outstanding. Yeah. You know what's funny? We actually had a topic, Paul, one day last week. This has been a crazy month in the state of Michigan.
Oh, you bet.
Where I live, we have been hit literally three times with storms that have knocked over trees, really in covering all sides of Northville. The north side, we got it just this past weekend where literally across the street from me, a tree went down, fell into a house, knocked over power lines. The downtown area got hit in the early part of the month. The middle part of the month, it was like the west side of the downtown. What's going on? I mean, with everything that happened in St. Clair and to the south, and God help those poor people that suffered, you know, loss of life and mass damage to homes and stuff. Is it just me, or has this been a crazy month around here?
It's been one of the most extraordinary 3 weeks of severe weather I've seen in my career here, let alone my life. And it's been something else. It's just storm after storm after storm. And, you know, it's fine that you get maybe one or two of these in a week, or maybe get two big ones in a couple of weeks, but we've just had wave after wave coming through. And I'll tell you, Sean, a lot of folks, almost nobody has actually missed out. A few people have gotten less, but it's been pretty extraordinary.
What do you, like, attribute it to?
You know, without getting into all the weather lingo and all the weather jargon, basically the storm track just came down and it's just sat right over us for basically 3 weeks, bringing storm system after storm system. And we just couldn't shake it. It's like trains on a track, one after another, just coming right through.
Is this something that, and I mean, I think we all know, and Paul Gross is kind enough to join us this morning on 11:30 a.m. Detroit Sports Talk. I think we all know that this is the time of year that inclement weather is going to come, and you know, tornadoes usually, it's tornado season around here is what, basically late May to early July? Is that a good window?
Well, the peak is, yeah, May into early June, but the thing is, because of where we are, we can get it all summer long. We've had, in fact, two of our more significant tornado outbreaks in Michigan over the past 10 years were actually in October, believe it or not, so it can happen basically from March to October.
You know what? Just hearing you say that. See, Doug, you know what? The frustrated meteorologist in me, this is the stuff. Is it just me or have the seasons changed around here? Have you noticed that from like a weather standpoint? Like, it's warmer in the fall. Like, I think it was a couple years ago, there was a Halloween. Paul, it was like 70 degrees. And it just seems like there's almost like it goes from just being hot to, okay, winter's here. Like there's just less fall now. If you notice that, I mean, tracking all the weather and stuff like that?
Well, one of the things we're watching is global warming, obviously, and we're trying to see if those changes are occurring. I am noticing some changes, though, just personally. I'm noticing changes in things that are responding to the changes. You know, like I have some black-eyed Susans, a type of perennial flower in front of my house, And when I moved into my house in 1992, those things bloomed in basically like early to mid-August, and they held on into September. Now, those things are blooming in July and hanging on into mid-August. I mean, they are actually blooming earlier. So I am noticing some changes. And I, like you, I'm noticing that we seem to be holding on into some of the warmer weather further into fall as well.
Yeah, you know, it. This is one of those things. Again, Paul Gross joining us here on 11:30 a.m. Detroit Sports Talk. This is one of those things that, Paul, I guess you have to ask yourself, are we out of this span that we've been in for 3 weeks, or is this something that's going to linger? I mean, I know it's tough for you to say, but you said that there's kind of been something that just, like the train on the tracks and everything, is this kind of moving away? Can you, I guess, foresee that?
Yeah, the cold front that came through yesterday is bringing in this cooler, drier air. That's a more stable air, so we are actually going to be in much better shape. In fact, we have a beautiful week ahead. It's going to be a little cooler for those that want it cooler, a little cooler for the middle part of the week. Then we'll warm things back up for the holiday weekend, but no storms in the forecast. Looking at the maps that I looked at last night, looked like the next chance for any rain might have been either late Monday or into Tuesday. So I think right now we're actually looking really good right through the holiday weekend.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is I know what a sports fan you are, and you and I have like exchanged emails for years now, and I know what a big sports fan you are. Talk to me about what goes into it in regards to, I guess, forecasting for the teams. I mean, that's, as you said, that's got to be a pretty cool thing. But I mean, do you have like the team officials, the umpires? I mean, you know, in regards to baseball, are these guys like in close contact with you and everything?
Well, it's different with baseball and football. Baseball, it's more of a, is the weather going to come in and interrupt our game because they can't play in the inclement weather? So that's the kind of the baseball side. The football side is, how will this impact our game plan? How are we going to plan for it? So, like, for example, I worked with Lloyd Carr virtually his entire career at U of M, and I would email him daily with forecasts, and he told me on many occasions that those forecasts directly impacted the game plan that he set in motion during the week. And he would talk about the forecasts in team meetings, and it's funny, he once told me that he would told the team in his meetings that I was his pipeline to God, which was pretty cool. But you know, quite honestly, he said that would actually impact his game plan. So it was more of a planning standpoint for the football teams, whereas, you know, with the Tigers, we're trying to find out, will there be interruptions? And it doesn't affect the strategy quite as much, although I will sometimes tell Heather Nabosny, the superintendent of grounds, to tell the umpires, you know, keep this thing moving. You know, if rain's approaching, you know, keep it moving. Try to do what you can to just kind of keep things going.
Yeah, it's crazy because there, you know, I can tell you from having tickets down there, I can't tell you how many times we've been down at a game where it started to rain and you wonder, well, why are they still playing now? And then there are other times where it's raining and raining just a little bit, and then they call it, and then you're like, well, what the heck are they doing that for? And then my kid and I will say, we were here 2 weeks ago, it was pouring, and they kept playing. This is sprinkling. Why the hell are they you know, stopping the game right now?
Well, there are two reasons for that. One, it could be that I've told them this is only going to last 5 or 10 minutes, and you can play through it. So that's one reason. But the other reason is you have different umpiring crews, of course, that rotate each series. Some umpires are much more tolerant of weather than others, and some umpires will just play through anything. And as you know, you go to a game, if that tarp comes out, you're talking a minimum 30-minute delay or more. And some umpires, if they hold off on pulling out the tarp, the field can get in bad enough shape where after they pull the tarp off, they have to then repair the field. Yeah. And we had one instance, I never forgot this, and I don't remember who the umpire was, but I told him we had a storm, I mean red, on the radar, and it was literally heading right toward the stadium. And I'm on the phone with Heather, and I'm saying, Heather, it's approaching I-75, okay? It's like almost there, and the umpire would not let her pull the tarp before the storm got there. Well, all of a sudden, it's now Hurricane Ethel at the ballpark, and it is pouring like you've never seen it rain before. And by the time they get the tarp out, the field was trashed. And it literally added about 40 minutes to the delay because the umpire wouldn't let her pull the tarp out.
Damn umpire. You know, seriously, I can say that. I know you won't say that. I can say that. Hey, can you stick with us?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the book. And, you know, for me, I mean, we always talk about this and you know, have the jokes in the wintertime, death storm and all that stuff. What is so fascinating about snowstorms? It is so fascinating to me. And I think a lot of us junior meteorologists get out there and, you know, get on whether it be your website, the DIV's website, or weather.com, whatever it is.
Just weather.com.
Yeah, love to look at the little maps and stuff like that. I love that stuff. All right, Paul Gross in studio this morning on 11:30 a.m. Detroit Sports Talk. No, actually, Paul and I were talking about some of the stuff, and you mentioned, I brought it up to you, and you even knew the exact date. Dundee, they had the tornado, early June, and then, of course, the tragedy up in St. Clair County, the big tornado in West Bloomfield, 76?
Yep, March 20th, 1976.
March 20th, 1976. It's unbelievable you remember. My father was a police officer out there, and he got called into work. I remember that, boy, plain as day.
That was an F4 on the scale, that scale of 0 to 5. That was an F4 tornado.
Yeah, there was pretty significant damage out there, right? I mean,
absolutely.
I was a kid, but there was pretty significant damage. No, you were telling me there a couple coaches, I know you mentioned Lloyd Carr, and you had a story about Lloyd and Brandy, but Marty Morningweg was somebody that was just completely infatuated with what was going on with the weather?
Of the Lions coaches I've worked with, he was probably the one that was most, at least overtly, interested in the weather and wanting to know it. And by the way, I did not tell him to take the wind. I told him what the wind was, but I did not tell him to take the wind. No, Marty was actually a really good guy, and there was one game where he had, every game, if there was any weather issue, an away game, of course, where it was outdoors, if there was any weather issue before a game, I'd call his personal assistant, Phil Stearns, on the sidelines during warm-ups before the game. And one day, there was this thunderstorm, big thunderstorm passing just north of the stadium. And I called Phil. I said, Phil, are the skies getting dark to your north there? And he says, dark. He said, Paul, it's black. What's going on here? And I said, don't worry. You have a thunderstorm literally a couple of miles north of you, and it's moving east. It won't get you, and then you're done with rain for the day. And he was very relieved. But they were really getting nervous because the skies were getting just black up there, but it was not going to hit them. And so, yeah, Marty Morningweg was probably the most overtly into the weather of all the Lions coaches I've worked with.
Marty was a great guy.
He was. He was super.
We can all crack the jokes about his lack of success here and everything, but he was a
good person.
Yeah, he was. Different guy, man, but good cat to say the least. It was funny. You had mentioned Lloyd earlier, and again, Paul Gross is joining us. He's been a meteorologist forever around here, and really, I guess you could say the meteorologist for some of the teams, but you were telling a story about when Michigan was out in Colorado, and having been out there, Paul, you want to talk about different extremes. That place is it from the mountains? Yeah. Is it just like something from the Rockies? But Paul, I brought the story up before. I was out there in '98 for the All-Star game. And the craziest thing was, like, in downtown Denver, it was like 95 degrees on the 4th of July, and you go, like, literally a half hour outside of town up into the mountains, and I forget Pike's Peak, one of those dumb things. I don't remember what it was called. And I threw a snowball at my wife. I mean, that place is just... It just seems one extreme or the other out there.
Yeah, it is the mountains, and it is also being the in the plains. And I had the same experience as you. I was at a conference in Boulder. It was 100 degrees in Boulder. We went up into Rocky Mountain National Park, and we were throwing snowballs in shorts. It's amazing.
It's crazy.
But the mountains had nothing to do with that one Michigan game. This was great. We had actually a tropical storm. I can't remember if it was a tropical storm or a hurricane, but it hit southwest Mexico and was traveling right up toward Colorado. And I saw this several days before the game. I saw this was happening, and I had told Lloyd during the week, it's going to be a really close call, because when this rain gets there, it's going to be massive downpours, and it's just all bets are off at that point. But it's going to be close, but I think you're going to get the whole game in dry, but it's really going to be close toward the end of the game. So I was working that weekend, and I'm driving into work listening to the game, of course, and, of course, listening to Brandstatter, and Jim saying, it's getting kind of dark there to the southwest. It looks like something's rolling in, and now there's like 6 minutes left in the game, and he's saying, oh, there's lightning. And he said, man, it's really starting to get dark, and I'm getting so nervous. But, I get into work, and I'm looking at the radar, and I'm serious. I think that rain held off. It must have been maybe 10 minutes after the game. It started to just downpour like a hurricane, just a huge dumping of rain. And I just breathed a sigh of relief because it was that close a call. And it was just, I was nervous the whole day because it was it clearly, to go from dry to torrential downpours, just not stopping, would have been a very significant impact in the game plan.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know what, Paul, I got to ask you, and I'm one of those guys, I understand a weather forecaster, you're making a forecast and you're not going to nail it every time. You know, I understand that it's, you know, that's just the nature of the business. It's an inexact science. What is it, you know, and I know this is a broad question, but this is something that, you know, usually comes up in the winter. A lot of times you'll hear, okay, we have the potential for 10 inches of snow. Tonight we're looking at this band. It's I don't know, just on the other side of Lake Michigan or whatever the case may be. We're looking at 10 inches of snow. It may come our way. It may dip, you know, just to the south of us and everything. But right now, 6 to 10 inches. And then the next day, we get, oh, I don't know, an inch. And maybe my infatuation with that started as a kid, you know, where you're like, yay, no school tomorrow, hooray. But it's carried on into my adult life. I'm one of those guys. I'm not joking. I'm hoping, yay, snow, go snow. I'm rooting for the snow at home. What are the variables that causes, you know, you'll hear about the dry air or this Alberta clipper just went south of us or anything. Is there any way you can explain it to the neophytes, what sometimes changes the charts and the graphs that you guys have plotted out?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I'm not to plug the book. I've written an entire chapter on how we forecast the weather. I mean, there's a whole
brilliant.
Big section in there. And when you read it, you'll see what we have to do is can sometimes be very extraordinarily difficult. But basically, we're looking at all these computer models, and there is not just one. There's a bunch of them. And long story short, part of what we have to do is look at the thermodynamics and see what's happening and decide which models have the best handle on all the physics and all the thermodynamics, and then use those models to kind of form our forecast. Now, sometimes things happen where either the models are just wrong, none of them get it right, or sometimes in the case of one snowstorm, and I don't miss many snowstorms, really. I actually get most of them pretty close, but there was one in particular where there was some dry air coming from an area where we had very little data, like up in, it was like coming down from Canada right down across the state, and the source region of that dry air, we just didn't have a lot of those upper air balloons to tell us, and the computer models had no idea on the correct thickness of that layer of dry air. So the snow moved in right on time, but it evaporated before it got to the ground. And so the 6 to 10 inch forecast, I actually had the lowest snow total forecast of anybody around here, but some forecasts were like 8 to 13 inches. But still, it took literally hours for the atmosphere to saturate, and then the snow could start reaching the ground. We only ended up with like 4, 5, 6 inches of snow in what we were expecting was 6 to 10 inches. So it moved in on time. It's just the thermodynamics were wrong. So, yeah, it's really complicated. And if people really understood what we actually had to do to forecast the weather, even though we do get it right most of the time, I think people would really, I don't want to say have sympathy on us, but I think people would understand, be a little more understanding, because believe me, you know as well as I do, we're all sports fans. You go to a game, and if we tell you it's going to be nice weather, you expect it to be nice weather. And if something changes, you're upset. I'm upset.
Yeah.
And you know, I think people would understand it a little better if they knew what we had to do to forecast the weather.
What is it? Can you explain? And this is one of those selfish things. My late grandparents had a place in Stony Point, Ontario. And I remember watching storms roll in across Lake St. Clair, like in the summertime in particular. And it was just so cool to watch the storms roll in. But what's the whole lake effect thing? I've never understood that, like how like one area on one side of the lake is going to get less snow, but the other area is just going to get pounded. Is there any way you could, I guess, simplify that for my brain?
Yeah, and it's really not that complicated. The Great Lakes do impact our weather a great deal, and that's why I wrote a book just about our weather, not just a general book, because we have very specific things to our weather because we're surrounded by these lakes. In the winter, just to talk about snow, cold air comes across the lakes. The lakes are warmer. So let's say that the air temperature is like 18 degrees. Well, the lakes, if they're open, are in the 30s. So it's warmer there. So the air picks up that moisture, it evaporates that moisture, and the air warms a bit. Then the air crashes into shore. Well, when that happens, you now have two things happening. One, the air is coming off the smooth water of the lake. Okay, so now it's hitting shore, which is trees, terrain, buildings. So the air kind of starts slowing down, but the air is still crashing in at a faster speed off the lake. So something has to happen, and the air starts rising because you're basically, the air coming in off the lake is kind of shoving the air on land upward, and then it cools again, and now it has all this extra moisture, and it then dumps that moisture as snow. So we do, along the lake shores, on the windward side of the lakes, in other words, the side of the lakes where the wind is coming from, we get a lot more snow. In fact, up in the Upper Peninsula, places like Marquette, I think they average like 250 or 300 inches of snow a year.
Oh.
It's just, it's brutal. But in the summer, it's the opposite. We get those cool lake breezes, which along the lake shores, you know, those breezes can really help you out on a hot day. But those little lake breezes also act like little mini cold fronts. It can actually trigger thunderstorms if it's warm and humid. So the lakes have a great impact on our weather. And one of the nice benefits, though, is it tempers the extremes a bit. So, for example, real quick, if we have real hot weather coming in, the lakes may cool us down. Or in the winter, if you have bitter cold Arctic air coming down, those lakes will warm us up a bit. So we do get some help from the lakes as well.